been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's the Taco Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. You know, the market's improved a bit since it opened. The NASDAQ is right now down 21 points. It was down more than that. It's mostly Oracle leading the NASDAQ lower here today. The Dow is down 70 points. It's down 20 basis points. That puts the Dow at 34,593. The S&P is down 11. That's about a quarter of a percent. That puts it at 4,475. And I would just say, you know, at the beginning of the year, most analysts had the target price for the S&P somewhere in the 4,500 to 5,000 range. So we're at the lower end of that range, but we've made significant progress since the beginning of the year. Why? Because earnings have continued to increase. The small caps are up a quarter of a percent today. Crude oil, man, I'm telling you what a story this is turning into. Up another $1.82 today per barrel. $1.82. $89.11. Not good for the economy, not good for inflation. But that is where it's at today. We've got the 10-year basically flat today at 4.29%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 24 years behind the microphone and at the trading desk of Gunderson Capital Management. Hopefully some of the things I've learned over the years and observed might be helpful to you here in 2023. And, of course, Barry Kite with extensive experience also. And with that CFA designation, Chartered Financial Analyst, and that CFP, that's a pretty good combination there.
Hey, I tell you what, you don't need it to know that the Fed is watching that price of oil, you know, very closely.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so.
And that's one thing they don't control.
No, they can't control OPEC. Right. No. OPEC is not very friendly. Now, I did see some overtures by the Biden administration yesterday, but you know, they were to Iran. A prisoner swap and unlocking billions and billions in dollars to the rogue Iranian regime. Well, anyways, the Dow was up 87 yesterday. The NASDAQ had a huge day yesterday. It was mostly on the back of Tesla, though. I mean, Morgan Stanley, you got to give them credit. When they speak, people listen. Morgan Stanley really moved Tesla was up over 10%,
right? Yeah.
10% in one day, and it continues to be, you know, one of our biggest holdings because we own it in our biggest growth portfolios. The NASDAQ was up 156 yesterday, but this oil story is very, very worrisome as we approach $90 per barrel. And there's a lot of news. I mean, they just got done with their G20 summit. And, you know, here's the issue with this climate change initiative and trying to get the temperature of the planet from increasing 1.5 degrees over the next 10 years. The problem is China, India, and Russia are the biggest polluters in the world, and they're just not going to play along. I mean, 80% of Russia's economy is oil. Do you think China gives a hoot about cleaning up the air?
Don't quote me on this, but I think I saw a stat that was, since 2000 that that China has added, I think it was like 1/3 of the world's emissions.
Yeah.
Since then.
Yeah. So that's, you know, therein lies the problem. And, of course, India also has no will to play along. So, you know, you put yourself at a you're between a rock and a hard place. You put yourself in a tremendous disadvantage in the economy if you're moving your economy away from fossil fuels while the other economies right around the world are using them like crazy. So that's a problem, okay? So Tesla was up 10% yesterday. Today is Apple's big day with their announcement. It's today, right, that Apple has their dog and pony show?
Yeah, it's today, yeah, announcing they have the new new iPhone. I think they've got a couple other updated watch and then the AirPods.
Well, I have to say, you know, to myself, as I look at my Apple 11 here, the Pro Max, what would it take for me to trade it in for a 15?
Take a carrier discount. So let your carrier pay for the phone.
What bell and whistle would it take for me to go running out? They used to camp out overnight, right, for the latest version of the iPhone. That doesn't happen anymore. And then, of course, tomorrow. Today's an I with the iPhone. Tomorrow's an I with the CPI.
Yeah, and then we get the PPI the next day.
Yes. So that, and then the Fed meets next week. So
that's right.
This is a big week. I mean, they're looking
Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Yeah,
they're looking at oil rising. They'll look at the CPI. They'll look at the PPI, and then of course, what you know, how the economy is right now. At the same time, another rate hike. Could put another death nail into the economy. So all of this is coming here within the next 7 days, and a lot to watch. Okay, in addition to this, here's another thing they got to be watching, because this would actually dent our GDP. The major U.S. auto strike is now just 2 days away. Progress is creeping along. The strike deadline is midnight on Thursday. The United Auto Workers lowered their pay increase demand to 36% from 40%. 40% is the pay increase demand that they want. Okay, now they've lowered it to 36. The UAW is now asking for a series of increases over nearly 5 years that will start with an 18% boost before alternating between 5 and 4% annual increases for the remainder of the contract. What if the economy goes to hell, you know? Nobody's buying cars anymore. And man, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I mean, if you look at the UPS and how they've performed since, a week after they got their deal settled. But the they're going to have a lot of front end costs. So you hear immediate pay increase in the first year of 18%. UPS did something similar where they're front ending. You know, that first year is going to be very expensive. And UPS's stock price is showing that as well.
Yeah, okay. In addition to that, they want two additional 3% lump sum payments, a $5,500 ratification bonus, a $6,000 one-time inflation recognition payment. That'd be nice. Hey, I want to be paid for this. And $5,000 inflation protection bonuses over the four-year agreement. Well, it's similar to the draconian contract that UPS got. You know, at some point in time, it's going to hit us, the consumer, big time for what's going on in the labor industry. So, but here's the deal. It could have ripple effects in the economy. There's 146,000 auto workers. A strike could cost the U.S. economy $5.6 billion in gross domestic product and could push the Michigan economy into a recession. So, anyways, there is a lot at stake right there, and I got a hunch that they're going to get a pretty big chunk, pretty big concession made to them. We'll see how many auto jobs go overseas. When, you know, it's difficult for us to be competitive at those kinds of numbers. Okay, the first big tech monopoly case in decades, believe it or not. the biggest antitrust trial of the modern digital era lands in court today as the U.S. Department of Justice faces Google in a lengthy showdown over its dominance in online search. The suit is a holdover from the Trump administration, which took an activist regulatory approach against big tech that has continued under President Biden. The coming trial is expected to last 2 months before any appeals, but Alphabet also faces litigation over competitive practices in Europe, as well as a separate challenge in the U.S. over its advertising technology business. So, something to think about, something to watch. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know who else will be watching this trial? I think Apple will be watching. I think that Amazon will be watching. I think that Facebook will be watching. The DOJ is going to argue that Google did not cement its monopoly through innovation, but rather via exclusive contracts and deals that made it the default search engine on phones and internet browsers. Sometimes I wonder, though, Barry, what if it's the best browser out there? I mean, innovation and having a quality product itself creates a monopoly. You know, I mean, In-N-Out Burger has a monopoly on the drive-through chains and the good burgers there and in the areas that it's in. Chick-fil-A's got a monopoly in this neck of the woods on all the chicken sandwich makers. Why? Because they have a better product. So I'm just throwing that out there. Now, Google, on the other hand, is going to argue just basically what I said, that their contracts with the likes of Apple, Samsung, Firefox, Verizon are not exclusive and haven't prevented people from searching out other search engines. They'll also argue that its product provides a better experience while zooming in on specific definitions and taking a broader outlook on web traffic. I've noticed personally a big change in Google over the years. It's become much more political. I mean, it's much, much more difficult to see both sides of a story when you do a Google search. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's not the same as it used to be. Their algorithms have definitely changed over the years to favor certain points of view. There's no question about it. Okay, what came from the G20 summit? Not much. Not much. Right. Nobody agreed on the renewables, the clean energy, very few of the companies benefited from this. There is some kind of a will to support a tripling of renewables globally around the world. But other than that, very little came from the and the big reason is because you've got China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and India that are major carbon producers, and they have no will whatsoever to reduce their carbon emissions. How about the biggest lithium deposit ever discovered? Now, I remember when it was diamond mines, right?
Yeah.
I remember there was a guy at the Del Mar racetrack that discovered one of the biggest diamond mines of all time in Canada. I can't think of his name offhand, but I read about him and everything. He was just a miner, right? Now he's this gazillionaire that owns all these big racehorses and whatnot. He discovered one of the biggest diamond mines ever. Well, now it's lithium. Lithium Americas on Monday suggests its Thacker Pass project in Nevada, which many people from California going to Las Vegas have passed many times, is located on a lithium deposit that could be among the largest in the world. Reserves in the McDermott Caldera, located along the Nevada-Oregon border, could... Oh, this is a different one, actually. This is the Thacker.
I was thinking the one that you've mentioned a number of times that was kind of hung up, remember, for some kind of environmental...
Mountain Pass. Yeah. That's right, that's Mountain Pass. Okay, so Thacker Pass is on the Nevada-Oregon border, could contain 20 to 40 million metric tons of lithium, according to its findings from Lithium America, LAC. Now, it used to be oil deposits that everybody used to get excited about. Now it's lithium deposits. That stock had a little bump yesterday. It was up about 8 or 9%. It's up another 2% today. It's based out of Canada, but that's a significant find up on that Nevada-Oregon border. End of the fossil fuel era, says the International Energy Agency. That's the IEA, which is basically, they're very much anti-fossil fuel, okay?
They sound anti-energy.
Yeah, even though they're the International Energy Agency, yeah, they're anti-nuclear, they're anti-energy. They say that the demand for coal, natural gas, and oil will likely peak before 2030. Now, they've been saying this. They keep moving the year ahead. They keep moving it ahead, looking for that peak energy. The energy watchdog projected that the decline in fossil fuel consumption will start this decade because of the ongoing shift to renewable power and wider electric vehicle adoption. Well, I mean, that infrastructure's got to happen. There are just so many blank holes across America. Where you literally, it's very difficult to make any kind of a trip. I mean, if you don't have a charger at home, and then you're limited to, you know, just using up the range that you have before you get home again, because the chargers are few and far between. I read a story about the Ford CEO who got into one of his Lightning trucks. And he said, it's not good out there. It was a nightmare trying to find a place to charge. He went for a drive. That's good that the Ford guy is, you know, seeing what the real world is like out there. So anyways, that's what they're saying, that we're slowly moving. And I see there's a giant wind farm coming off of Long Island in New York. I don't know if that's the one that the lobster fishermen are all up in arms about. But the cost... The cost is just enormous for building a wind farm, just absolutely enormous. Okay, U.S. banks set to lose $250 billion from office exposure. Is downtown New York, downtown San Francisco, downtown Los Angeles ever going to return to what it was? No, not even close. I mean, it's a whole new world out there. What are you going to do with all of these skyscrapers and former office buildings? Who's holding the paper on these things? You know, who's not paying the loans?
Not only are they going down in value, they all need, a lot of them need improvements in terms of in terms of investment, right? To, you know, whether you're revamping them or restructuring them or whatever you're doing. So it's not only the fact that they're worth less money, they also need money. So
yeah, it's a problem. Maybe we tear them down and build wind farms where they used to be. U.S. banks, 250. That's according to Kyle Bass, who's a pretty sharp guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he says that that would be a 10% hit. He says there's $2 trillion of equity in the banks, and he's saying that's going to take a 10% hit to the U.S. banking equity, which is a problem because that's part of their, their reserves. That's part of, you know, the equity that they own. And if the value of that equity is going down, you're kind of in a trap like Silicon Valley Bank was. So anyways, there's something else to make your day. Now, when we come back, we'll talk about some individual stocks in the news today, along with a potential government shutdown. What next? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's gotten maybe a little worse from where we started. The NASDAQ's down 67 right now. And, you know, we talk on days when we have the biggest winner in the market. Well, we have one of the biggest losers in the market today in Oracle. And Oracle reported earnings after the close last night. I thought the earnings report was pretty good, but they kind of warned on slowing cloud growth going forward.
Yeah.
So it's down 12.1% today, and we own Oracle. I mean, the expectations were very high for Oracle. The chart was excellent on Oracle. Here's a case where the chart had it wrong and the analyst had it wrong. Oracle reported earnings. Let's see what they came in at. Their sales were up 9% year over year. But you know what? It's been more in the 17 to 18%, okay? So that's a big drop in growth. And their earnings were up 16%, which was good. But it was the sales number that spooked Wall Street. And again, the stock down 12.3% right now. It's not a big holding. We own it in our dividend and growth portfolio. You know, I wrote an article on Lilly, which was published.
Yesterday afternoon, right?
Yeah, and in Seeking Alpha, and I saw one comment, which is typical of Seeking Alpha. He says, "I'm waiting for them to raise their dividend."
Yeah.
Well, their dividend is 0.8%. So I guess if they raise it to 1%, he'd be a buyer. And I just wrote back. I said, you know, most of your returns, 99% of your returns in the future and in the past in Lilly have come from capital appreciation. Consider that the stock was $64 just 7 years ago, $64, and now it's $594. And now they're staring down a major blockbuster drug in Mounjaro, and he's worried about the dividend, which is just typical of how myopic a lot of the readers and how hyper-focused they are on these dividends.
Well, and dividends, or, I mean, dividend income is tax inefficient, number one, and, you know, and I can't stress enough the fact that, you know, if they're giving you and I the money as shareholders, right, it's really, you know, especially if it's a large percentage, right, in terms of dividend yield, then that just means they, you know, that a company doesn't have as many growth prospects.
Exactly. And in a lot of cases, it's not much different from a Ponzi scheme where the stock will go down 9% on the year, but they'll pay a 9% dividend. So, you know, there's a lot of similarity there between you giving money to someone and them just giving you a piece of your principal back every year as the stock goes down.
It's like it's a self-liquidating dividend, right? Whenever a company's paying a 10% dividend and, you know, their stock on a total return basis is going, you know, going down more than 10% on an annual basis. So.
But by far the biggest writer on Seeking Alpha is a guy that every day, almost, I don't know how many articles he writes a week, backing up the truck on this 9% dividend. That's his typical headline, right? You know?
Yeah.
you can retire on this stock. Yeah. I don't like the phony baloney myself, the headlines and whatnot. And I don't like the stocks themselves either, because many of them are great examples of what we talk about many times. And I hear this, I hear this argument, well, we're building a cash flow machine. But it's all about total return. It's all, you could give somebody $1 million and they'll say, well, we'll send you a check for $10,000 a month. When your $1 million is gone, it's gone. But you built a cash flow machine, right? Well, it's not quite that bad, but it's pretty bad. MGM Resorts is on watch after a cyber attack impact rolls into day two. You know, this is a big thing, and this is a reason why companies like Palo Alto Networks, whoever does MGM's cybersecurity, obviously let this come in. It was a devastating attack. It said that the company is still suffering from a cybersecurity issue that is impacting certain systems. The FBI has been called in to investigate the attack. Well, just think about it. I mean, all the money there, the casino floors, the hotel electronic key card system, the reservation system, the email system. Wow.
Most of those machines nowadays, right, are electronic, right? So they're not even, virtually the whole place is electronic. And you would think if you were, doing some attack like that, right, that you're, they probably got to figure out if maybe they lost some money in some form or fashion.
Well, there were many cases in the past where, armed bandits would be waiting outside for the loot. Now it's an inside job. It's digital thievery. Talk about shrinkage. T-Mobile agrees to sell $2 billion of senior notes. I was just looking at these. You can lock in for the next 11 years, 6%. Senior notes. They're due in 2054. Well, first of all, I guess that's 31 years they have a note. First, you got to look at your life expectancy, right? I guess you could pass them on.
Right.
Hey, these are 6% notes. Will T-Mobile be around 31 years from now? Will the technology be around, or will we be all like telepathic? Who knows? But anyway, 6%, they're paying a lot. I mean, it costs a lot more now to borrow money. You got to think of companies, too. Yes, a mortgage costs a lot more right now, but these companies are having to pay a lot more to borrow money, and guess who they pass that on to? They pass it on to the consumer. Kraft's got a new line out. I always like these breakthroughs in snack foods. The food giant said the new disruptive platform for the microwave creates crispy, crunchy products like you get on the stove. Their first thing is Lunchable Grilled Cheesies. You have to try that. Let me know how that is. Kids are probably the best.
I'll use them as a guinea pig. Yeah, we get 16, 11, and 9, all boys. So, yeah,
we'll give them a pan go. Like crisp outside and melty cheese inside in just 60 seconds. This is disruptive technology at its finest. Walmart membership, stay resilient despite consumer headwinds. Well, the membership has cost some. I see more and more people ordering online and then picking it up. I think that's got to be a big part of Walmart's business is that, in the back somewhere, they're sorting through all of these things and getting your stuff ready for pickup. I even saw a DoorDash person getting a birthday cake to deliver from Walmart that somebody had ordered. Okay, here's a couple of little-known stocks that I want to bring up here. Number one, Camtek, C-A-M-T. This has been on my radar for a while. They're in the semiconductor business. They're out of Israel. This stock is exploding to the upside. It's one of the very best charts in the entire market right now. They may be becoming an AI player. I don't know. But they got an additional order for 46 systems for several Tier 1 high-bandwidth memory from high bandwidth memory manufacturers. But when I looked at this chart, I just said, wow, not only the one-year chart, and I've been watching it.
What's the symbol on that one?
C-A-M-T,
that's right.
Out of Israel. They make automated optical inspection systems for the e-printed circuit board makers and semiconductor industries. They've been growing their earnings by 38% per year over the last 5 years. It's ranked number 12 in my app right now. It's a low PE stock, too, pretty low PE, but that's a phenomenal chart. 99 relative strength. And you're saying, why didn't you tell us about this a year ago? Because it wasn't this kind of stock a year ago. It's growing into a potential monster here that we're going to keep our eye on.
Yeah, the stock almost didn't move for a while there. So.
Okay, then there's one other one that I've watched over many years. There's no analyst coverage on the thing. You can't get any earnings estimates on it. It's out of Fort Worth, Texas, Corvell. This is one of the best healthcare stocks. It's a microcap. It's $3.4 billion. Corvell announces their first generative AI model. They provide cost containment and managed care services to workers' comp and group health, CRVL. So there's just two microcaps that are showing up on my radar again. We'll be right back. We'll take a look underneath the surface of the market. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I gotta say, there's not a lot of optimism about Apple's dog and pony show today. The stock is down 1.5% right now. That's not a very good looking chart on Apple at all. It began early last week with the announcement that China would not allow their government officials. It's still a small percent of the phones they sell, but it added up to like 500,000 out of the 5 million out of the 45 million.
I thought it was under 10% of their overall sales there.
Yeah. So, but still, I mean, it really set the market or set Apple reeling, and Apple not recovering at all. It started to recover since then. I got a hunch that the highlights. You know, they keep it pretty secret. They do their best, and there's always leaks.
Right.
A lot of leaks. I just got a hunch that, you know, that it's not going to be that big of a deal, their announcement today. I'm just looking at the way the stock is trading. It's not very good. It's one of the biggest losers. It is one of the biggest losers on the Dow and on the NASDAQ. I'm not very enamored with Apple these days myself.
Well, and one of the big, I mean, the biggest part I've seen as part of the big story is, you know, how much will they charge for the phone, right? Because, you know, are they going to raise the price on the, you know, on the lower end? Because I think they're making four models. That the top, there's two that are, you know, two of them are on the high end with, you know, special titanium this, and, you know, they're 17 chip in there. But it'll be, that's kind of what folks are looking at, and just in terms of, you know, price, right? And
yeah,
and inflation. What, you know, they haven't had a phone roll out in a while, so
no,
some of the things that we're looking at.
So anyways, on the Dow, you know, the Nasdaq's weak when the biggest winner in the Nasdaq is Walgreens. I think Walgreens,
you just touched on Walgreens yesterday.
it's a turnaround story. Okay, they're in desperate need of some kind of a turnaround. Because the stock has not done well. It's a member of the Dow.
And that whole business has been tough, I mean, over the years. I mean, think of all the ones that have gone away, like Rite Aid. Remember Eckerd's?
Think of the shrinkage and the theft that they have.
Yeah,
I think it's a major problem for Walgreens because a lot of them are on busy corners and whatnot downtown. All right, ExxonMobil, the oil stocks are probably the only sector. As I look at the Dow, Exxon's up 2.4%. Chevron's up 1.7. I don't see the solar and wind stocks going up after the G20, departed. Intel has been the surprising stock this year. It's been the sleeper of the year. It's breaking out to another 52-week high today. It's up 1.5%. It was up 2%. It's coming back to earth a little bit. They're kind of staking their future, a big part of their future, on making chips and going into the foundry business, which they're already in, but expanding the foundry business. And we learned yesterday that they have landed ARM, which will go public. I don't know if it's this week or next week.
I forgot. Did you see how oversubscribed? I think it's 10 times oversubscribed.
That's going to be a huge. That means that, whatever their public price is going to open at a much higher price. So, hey, call Schwab and see if they can get us any shares, Barry. We deserve them. We're a big customer.
Come on.
You're going to make money on day one when that thing comes out. But somehow they I don't know how they allocate those shares.
When you're 10 times oversubscribed, they're essentially, they're going to float around $5 billion worth of stock. And, you know, that just means they'd be $50 billion of money chasing it. So.
Yeah. SoftBank is the one that is going to make a nice little piece of profit. Of course, SoftBank has a lot of losers in their portfolio.
I was going to say, they finally have a winner.
They finally have a winner.
Had some issues.
They're going to take advantage of it while the market's still good. Okay, on the downside, and this one's turning into a disaster, Raytheon. This may get Raytheon kicked out of the Dow. That is a horrible chart. They have a problem. They've got it's one thing to recall seatbelts on a car, right? They're having a recall of jet engines, where you got to take the jet engine off of the. Think of the logistics. This is a multi-year project to fix this problem, and Raytheon stock is just getting crushed. It's down another 3.8. We owned it at one point in time. I have a line in the sand, that I draw, and when something goes below that, it just looks to me like there's some kind of issue out there. That was the case here. I mean, we got out for a small loss, and now this thing is turning into a disaster.
Yeah, they're expecting to, could cost as much as $7 billion to fix. And their market cap, that's almost close to 10% of their entire market cap, by the way.
So not a good day for tech, not a good day for Raytheon. Apple dead to the downside. Oracle, a big loser, down 12.6% today. Okay, well, you know what? There's a lot of market-moving news coming today, tomorrow, Thursday, next week with the Fed meeting. There's be very few earnings. Adobe's going to report, I think, on Thursday. Oracle reported last night, and that's part of the spill and sell-off in the NASDAQ today. But we've got another 3.5 months to navigate here in 2023, and there's plenty of opportunities out there. Look at these weight loss drugs and look at the energy stocks and other areas of the market that are flourishing right now, despite some struggles in other areas. Get 2 free weeks to the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or have a chit-chat with us, a portfolio review, talk to Barry about financial planning, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We look on target. With the app, the total makeover of the app, it's about 90% there. Put that thing over the finish line. I can't wait. I use it every day. I've used it every day since it was invented. That's what I use to narrow down a big, big ocean to those streams or inlets where the fish are biting. Anyways, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.